in the Christian scripture, the Bible. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7, says, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find." Ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What if we ask and it is granted to us what we ask for? But then what we ask for does not bring us inner peace. Is that a good asking? Is that a good ask? When Jesus said this, he was trying to encourage us to have faith and to trust in our prayer. But then there's something underneath that that it also says we should align our desires with God's will. There's nothing wrong with desire. But it is the nature of desire to pass. 1 minute we desire something, eventually we get bored of it, we want something else. In all corners of the world, we need money to be able to take care of our needs. So because of that, people desire to be wealthy, to be rich, and all of that. But if you really meet somebody who is wealthy, and you ask them, are they truly happy? I'm sure they will tell you to an extent, because they don't have to worry about meeting their needs. But then, maybe they seek someone in their life, someone to love. The money can buy them that. Maybe they just need to discover who they are. Their wealth cannot give them that. They may seek to be a powerful person, influential and all of that. Whatever the desire we have, some women might desire to have children, and then they have the child, they find that is a lot of work, like most of our mothers know. They may still love that, but it may not be the all-fulfilling that something. Because we've had stories where young ones will say, oh, well, nobody loves me, I'll just have a child, only to find out a child is not a puppy here. The mind may be described as an endless series of desires. One desire arises, it is satisfied and disappears, to be followed by another and another and another. It is the nature of the mind to desire, and the nature of desire to change. In order for us to see life as indivisible, as a whole, we have to shed all desires from personal pleasure, profit, prestige, and power. Because it is only when we do that we will find inner peace. Here's a story for us. Because the stories always drive things home. There was a poor man. Every day now, not like us where we come only on Wednesdays. Every day he would go to the ashram to visit his teacher, his rabbi, his guru. He would clean the place and then head off to his work. Often he would say to his teacher, his guru, saying, "Please bless me so that I gain lots of wealth." We all can relate to that. For him, it is money. For others, it is other things. One day, the teacher asked, "Is this why you come here to serve? Is this why you come on Wednesday nights? Because you know, God will give you something. Is that why you come?" The poor man honestly replied, "Yes, my only aim is to become wealthy." Some of us, we try to, you know, shade it as if God doesn't see our mind, doesn't see our hearts. "That's why I come to see you," he told the teacher. "You know, I sell goods on the roadside. I don't know when my days of happiness will come. Is this all I will be for life? Or will I have enough to take care of all my needs and others?" For those of you, if you live in Portland or some other areas where you don't see people selling things on the roadside, go to big city like New York, you will see them. Even when you are in your car, they are trying to sell you something. Of course, we've seen people sell strawberries and all of them because they needed it. The teacher said, "Don't you worry. When the opportunity comes, it will open the door of success to you. It will come." Of course, the word of a teacher, of a true teacher, God, it's not them speaking, it's the Spirit of God in them speaking that, okay? So, time goes on. The man left. He comes out. Things started changing for him. Now, he started earning a lot of money. He got so busy that he stopped going to the ashram, to Wednesday meditation altogether. And we know how we can make excuses, you know. "I can't be in meditation because I have, you know, my work and all of that." Years later, one morning, he returned to the ashram and began cleaning. The teacher was surprised and asked, "What's the matter? You have come after so many years. I heard you have become a wealthy man now." Because that's how we treat God. When God answers our prayers, all the yearning, then, you know, we start making excuses. We party instead of going to meditate. We do here. And it shouldn't be like that. I'm used to it. When I don't hear from people, that means life is good. But when there are aches, they'll find out where Baba Moses is. "I heard you have become a wealthy man now." The man replied, I earned a lot of money. I was able to marry off my children to good homes. And we know now how weddings are, you know, it can cost pretty good penny. There is no such shortage of money or wealth, but my heart is not at peace. I always felt like returning to serve here, but I couldn't because after all these years that I've gone, that God has answered my prayers. He said, "Dear teacher, you gave me everything, but not peace of mind." Now it's the teacher's fault now. The teacher responded, "But when did you ask for peace of mind? What you asked for, you received. So why have you come here today?" With tears in his eyes, the man fell at the teacher's feet and said, "From now on, I will not serve to ask for anything. I just want that inner peace of mind." Then the teacher said, "Okay, first of all, make a firm decision that from now, you will not serve in order to get something in return, but only for peace of mind." Because selfless service does not look for a return. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, and I quote, "You have the right to action." The Bhagavad Gita is the Indian Bible, but not to the results of action. That's what selfless service is. You have the right to action, but not to the result. Many of us, we do it for God. And that's why maybe we come for meditation, Bible study. Okay, if we do this, something good will come. But until we yearn to do without expecting anything, we should serve our fellow human beings, not because of anything we can get back, because that is what Jesus required of us. And that's why the teacher told him, "You can come and do all of, but not the result of action." Because he was coming because he wanted to be blessed. Now, the guru blessed him, he asked, and he received. You may get anything, but peace of mind is never gained that way. Service should never be done in the expectation of reward. The man looked at his teacher with deep sadness and said, "I want nothing, just let me serve." Truly, peace of mind is the most precious treasure. If you ask, you will receive. But you may not find peace of mind. If you serve, you will receive even what you never asked for. Because that's the way God works. Talking about wealth and peace of mind. Some of you may have heard me talk about Rajasikananda. We call him the Yogananda's first main disciple. That's what Yogananda said. That's what people said. During that time, he was one of the wealthiest men in the United States. But what brought him to Yogananda? He didn't have peace of mind. His money couldn't give him peace of mind. And when he met Yogananda, in one of his talks, he said for the first time, he was able to just be quiet to that peace of mind. He's never experienced that before. And he's gone to, and he was a Christian, he's gone to all kinds of religious things, but never that. So what does the scripture tell us? About that inner peace of mind. The scripture says, true inner peace is a divine gift, not something the world can give to you. Jesus himself said that. It is a state of tranquility and harmony that surpasses understanding and can be experienced even in the midst of life challenges and uncertainties. That's why when you meet true gurus and all of that, even if the whole world is collapsing around them, their chain is not yanked because they have that inner peace. They know, okay, with God, everything is possible. He will also take care of whatever it is. Maintaining a mind focused on God and His truth is crucial for experiencing perfect peace. And Jesus emphasized that the greatness in God's kingdom is found in serving others. That's why he told his disciples, it's the least of them that will be raised. If you think you want to be high, you'll be low. And part of selfless service includes that part of us to be humble, that humility, which the book of Philippians 2:3 says, encourages considering others more important than ourselves and valuing them above ourselves. The book of Corinthians 9:7 says, each individual should give what they have decided in their heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So don't come to Wednesday night because you think if you don't come, you won't receive God. If you come, come because you want God. Let that be your main desire. It does not mean you can't have material desires. As long as those material desires align with what God wants for you. Because that's how we get ourselves in trouble. We've heard the story of the Joneses, right? Everybody, don't be like the Joneses. So is it possible for us to have our desires met at the same time, have that inner peace, and also be selfless? Yes, it is. And we can all choose to embrace that. Because part of knowing oneself is knowing your deepest desire. When we know ourselves, we yearn to do more for others. We yearn to be good. We yearn to put everything in its right place according to God's will for us. May the desires of our hearts be granted to us according to God's will. And may the inner peace that surpasses all understanding embrace us as we continue this journey of life. Amen.